Blog Talk Radio.
Pass. Yes. Home for Tribe Entertainment.
Shalom, shalom, shalom. First and foremost, giving all praise and honor to the creator of the heaven, the earth, the sea, and all that is therein is by saying hallelujah. Praise the mighty Yah. Yah is righteous. Yah is holy. And let Yahweh be magnified. Once again, the Creator has allowed us to come before you another day, another week, bringing to you his great, holy, and exalted words, even the words of truth. My name is Ray Ishaya Yisrael of the House of Israel, located right here in Cincinnati, Ohio, 1907 Vine Street, bringing to you nothing but the truth. And yes, it is true. All we're going to do is tell you the truth, for Yah ordained to tell you the truth. So this is what I'm going to do. And who is this Yah? Yah is the creator of the heaven, the earth, the sea, and all that is therein. Yah is the Elohim of our fathers, the Elohim of Abraham, Yitzhak, and Yisrael, whom you may know as Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Yah is our king, he's our judge, he's our lawgiver, and Yah is our only savior, and not just of Israel. Yah is the savior of the world. And praise the mighty Yah for his mercy and do it forever. And he has allowed us to come before you once again another day. Today we'll be dealing with man, husband, and father. Three distinct, different entities wrapped up in one. I want you to see how they are to operate as one. But to operate as one, you still have to have vision of each entity. And we're going to talk about that. We dealt with a woman, wife, and a mother. But now we want to deal with a man, a husband, and a father. And little do many know, when the scriptures talk about a remnant, for the most part, he's speaking about a man. Now, how do I know he's speaking of a man when he deals with a remnant? Because the only people that Yahweh counts is the men. The men of war. The children are not counted. The women are not counted. So how can they say a remnant of women or a remnant of children when he don't count them anyway? A remnant is a certain amount. It's typically the smallest amount. Now, that small amount may be greater than what you might think, because the Creator said, we shall be like the stars of heaven. He said, we will be as the sand of the sea. How much sand is it in the sea? Who knows? How many stars are in the heaven? Who knows? But Yahweh. But even with that said, Yahweh said, it shall be a remnant. And let me show you how rare a man would be, so a man can understand why this lesson is so important for him to understand. In the book of Isaiah, the 13th chapter, watch what this says concerning a man. As I stated before, we're dealing with man, husband, and father. In the book of Isaiah 13, this is what the Creator said will happen in the last days. And I will start reading at the 12th verse. Isaiah 13 and 12, and this is what it says. I will make a man more precious than fine gold. And that sounds good. My goodness, we're going to be more precious than fine gold. But then when you continue reading, you get to understand what it means. Even a man than the golden wedge of Ophir. What the Creator is saying when he said he's going to make a man more precious than fine gold, he's letting you know that he's going to make a man very rare. So rare, he'll be rarer than even the fine gold. You'll be able to find some gold before you find a man. And why? Let me show you why. Therefore, I will shake the heavens, and the earth shall remove out of her place. And the wrath of Yahweh is in the day of his fierce anger. Because when the Creator returns, make no mistake about it, he's starting at the head. And who is the head? The man. That's why a man, he got to stand up, and he got to accept his responsibility as the head. And he can't worry about people worrying about him being the head. Why you got to be the head? Because Yahweh said it. Why you got to make all the decisions? Because Yahweh. Why I got to listen to you? Because of Yahweh. And why you got to rule? Because of Yahweh. And a man got to be strong. But watch what it says. 14th verse. And it shall be as a chased rope, and as a sheep that no man taketh up. They shall every man turn to his own people and flee, every one into his own land. This is when you're going to begin to see how Yahweh will make a man very rare in the earth. And this will happen in the last days. But as a man, what is the vision of a man? What should a man, where should his mind be? What should he be thinking about? What should his heart and mind and spirit, his thoughts, where should he be even as a man? Before he become a husband, before he become a father, he first must learn how to become a man. But just because you're a husband, just because you're a father, don't mean you knew how to become a man. So now you got to re-educate yourself, rethink about things so that you can learn how to become a man. Watch what the scriptures teach us in becoming a man. In the book of Psalms 104, we're going to go there first. Man, husband, father, that's what we're talking about. But we got to deal with a man first. That's number one. Because some men, they never became a man. But no action. And watch what this. And we're going to start reading at the 23rd verse. And I love this. Because it says, man goes forth to his work and to his labor until the evening. In other words, what is this letting us know? That a true man, he works. A man got to get out there and work. He's got to be the provider. And even before he become a husband, even before he become a father, he must first learn how to work. He must learn how to bring home the bacon, as they say. And how long do he work? Well, it says, man, go forth to his work until evening. In other words, all day long. Whatever it takes, a man got to learn how to work. And once a man began to learn how to work, then there's certain work that he should always be principal part of his work, his labor, even his occupation. Everybody might have different occupations, but there's certain work, there's certain labor all men have knowledge of. For example, if we go to the book of Jeremiah, Jeremiah 29, man goes to his work until the evening. In the book of Jeremiah 29, and we're talking about a man right now, so this lesson ain't for boys yet. But if you're a boy, that's okay. You need to learn this before you become a man. And if you didn't learn this as a man, it's also good, because now you can make the crooked thing straight. Watch what Creator lets us know what a man's supposed to do. In the book of Jeremiah 29, and starting at verse 4, it says, thus says Yahweh of hosts, the Elohim of Israel, unto all that are carried away captives, whom I've caused to be carried away from Jerusalem to Babylon. And of course, if you don't know, we're in Babylon today, the daughter of Babylon. And it says in the fifth verse, the very first thing it tells you to do as a man is build you houses and dwell in them and plant gardens and eat the fruit of them. This is what a man's supposed to be doing. He's supposed to have him a house. He's got to have something. How you not going to have nothing for your women and children? If you're not trying to do that, then how can you call yourself a man? That's why a man goes into his work into the evening, because he knows he has to have something for women and for children. What kind of man just live off a woman and just go, that is totally backwards. That's not the ways of Yahweh. Yeah, just living off a woman. That's not the definition of a man, nor is it the way of Yahweh. A lot of men, they might get mad at this, but I don't care. Because if you're a man, you understand exactly what I'm talking about. Build your house. Dwell in them and plant ye gardens and eat the fruit of them. That's what a man is supposed to be doing. Because once you do that, then it says take you wives and beget sons and daughters. And take your wives for sons and your daughters for husbands, that they may bear sons and daughters, that you may be increased there and not diminished. You might say, well, my wife, she make a lot of money. And that's good. But you still got to be the one to get the house. How much money you make is what your concern should be. What you bring into the table, even before she even get to the table. What has you prepared yourself to do before you take a wife and get your children? And why? Because you supposed to be a man. This is what a man is supposed to do. Watch this. Not just there. Watch this. In the book of Deuteronomy. Because we're talking about a man, a husband, and a father. And you're going to learn that once you become a husband, then the vision is slightly different. We're talking about the vision of a man right now. Get you a house. Plant you a garden. Watch what it says in the book of Deuteronomy 20. The fifth verse. It says in Deuteronomy 20:5, the officers shall speak to the people, saying, what man? Why do you say what man? Because he's not talking to women and children. He's talking to a man. What man is there that has built a new house and has not dedicated it? Let him go and return to his house, lest he dies in a battle and another man dedicate it. Because that's what a man's supposed to do. He got to have a house. How you going to be a man and you moving in with your woman? No, your woman's supposed to move in with you. Because you're supposed to have a house before the woman. And we just got it backwards. And at some point in time, a man got to make the crooked thing straight. Yeah, you might be a husband. You might have children. But still ask yourself, are you a man? You got to make the crooked thing straight. And watch this. Not just a house. And what man is he that has planted a vineyard and has not yet eaten of it? Let him also go and return to his house, because that's his house, lest he dies in a battle and another man eats of it. You see what a man got to do? His whole vision is slightly different from a husband and a father. Then watch the seventh verse. And then it says, and what man is there that has betrothed a wife? Yeah, that's the third thing. That's not the first thing. That's not the second thing. You got to have something before you get a wife. And a woman got to know a man got to have something before he take her. What woman in their right mind would take a broke man that has nothing and they got everything but a woman who lacked knowledge? Because then when it start, things begin to happen, the funny things start to happen, it ain't going to be a laughing matter. That's what we chose. That's what you wanted, and that's what you got. So you had nobody to blame but yourself. We're talking about a man, a husband, and a father. And then watch the type of man Abraham was in the book of Genesis, Genesis 14. In the book of Genesis 14, this is what it says in the very 14th verse. It says, and when Abram heard that his brother was taken captive, talking about Lot, he armed his trained servants, born in his house, born in his own house. In other words, if they was born in Abraham's house, then that means Abraham not only had a house, but he trained them in his house. And when Abraham heard that his brother was taken captive, he armed his trained servants, born in his own house, 318, and pursued them unto Dan. In other words, How can you be a man and you have no skills at all? A man got to have skills. What are you trained to do? What kind of skills do you have that you can pass down to your household? You can't do nothing. You can't work. You can't cook. You can't do nothing. You can't pay the bills. You can't. What can you do? In other words, all you can do is make babies. That's not a man. Anybody can do that. No, you got to have skills. And our father Abraham had skills to the extent that he was able to train his household and arm them. And the only thing brothers are arming their families with today is with babies and nothing else. And anybody can bet. You got to be trained. You got to have skills. You got to have a house. And you're going to have food in that house. Why do you think our people had gardens? And you got to work, brothers. You got to work. Man goeth unto his work until the evening. And our people are not working. Look what Noah did. First thing he did after the flood, the very first thing he did, and really it's the second thing. But watch this. In the book of Genesis, the 9th chapter. I get the verse. Genesis 9 and 20. And watch what it says. This is after the flood. It says, and Noah began to be a husbandman. And what is a husbandman? A husbandman is a farmer. And he planted a vineyard and drank, and he drank of the wine and was drunken, and he was uncovered within his tent, which was totally wicked that somebody would take advantage of him when he was a little intoxicated. But you see what he did. He planted a vineyard. Because that's what a man do. That's how a man work. He got to have something for his family. And he did. You know, if he planted a vineyard, he planted a garden. And this is one of the things that those who believe in the Most High will do. Solomon talked about all this. Look what Solomon said about how he did things. And there was nobody wiser than King Solomon. In the book of Ecclesiastes, the 2nd chapter. We're talking about a man right now. Because even though a lot of people might be husbands and they might be fathers, but they have yet learned how to be a man. And just because you skipped over being a man, that don't mean you can't go back and be a man. The crooked thing's got to be made straight. In the book of Ecclesiastes, the 2nd chapter, watch what Solomon said. In the 4th verse. Ecclesiastes 2 and 4. I made me great works, Man, I want to hear about these great works that Solomon did. What's the first thing he said he did? These great works. I built me houses. That was the first great work he said he did. Because that's what a man's supposed to do. This is a great thing to do such a thing. What was the second great thing he did? I planted me vineyards. My goodness. And why isn't this good in the sight of the man today? And watch the fifth verse. I made me gardens and orchards, and I planted trees in them of all kind of fruit. I made me pools of water to water therewith the woods that bring forth trees. This is what Solomon did. Then he followed after his father Abraham, where it says, I got servants and maidens and had servants born in my house. Also, I had great possessions of great and small, cattle above all that were in Jerusalem before me. In other words, he had a lot of livestock. And I gathered me also silver and gold and peculiar treasures of kings and other provinces. And I got me men singers and women singers and delights of the sons of men as musical instruments and that of all sorts. So I was great, increased more than all that were before me in Jerusalem. Also, my wisdom remained with me. And whatever my eyes desire, I kept not from them. And at the end of the day, watch this. Whatever my eyes desire, I kept not from them. I withheld not my heart from any joy, for my heart rejoiced in all my labor, and this was my portion of all my labor. In other words, when you work, you should enjoy it. When you work, you should rejoice. When you work, you can do great things and get great things. But what can a slugger get? Nothing. This is a man. And we must learn how to become a man. Get you a house. Get you a garden. Work. As the scriptures is telling you. But then the vision of a husband is a little different. It's a little different. See, a man gets him a garden and work real hard, build him a house and get him a house. These are the various tools and skills that's supposed to teach you how to be a husband. The longevity it takes to work, the long hours it takes to work, the care it takes to get you a nice garden, the security it takes to protect that garden from all kind of dangers that might attack it. The tender care and love that you have to have for your house. Who wants a house and somebody just tear it down and they just don't respect it, don't honor it, and then everything just breaking. and you don't know how to fix nothing because you don't have no skills at all. No, this is not a man. And then you go from woman house to woman house to woman house, never to get your own house. No, this is not a man. But once you become a man, once you follow the path and the vision and establish yourself as a man, well, then now you're ready to be a husband. And to be a husband, the very first thing the scriptures tell you in being a husband or becoming a husband, well, it's in the book of Proverbs 18, and this is what it says. In the book of Proverbs 18, the 22nd verse says, whosoever finds a wife finds a good thing and obtains favor of Yahweh. Because if a man working real hard, he's doing real good, he's got him a house, he got the provisions that you're supposed to have with that house, like a garden. Now, go look for you a wife, man. Now you can get you a helpmate, because that's what a wife is. And whosoever finds a wife finds it a good thing. This is a good thing, not a bad thing. It just became bad because things started off real crooked, and you got to straighten it out. You got to straighten this thing out. Because if you find a wife, Yahweh said, you obtain favor of Yahweh. And who don't want favor of Yahweh? Who don't want Yahweh's favor? Every man should want Yahweh's favor. And if you want his favor, find you a wife. Don't let Babylon trick you, deceive you, bamboozle you, and thinking you don't need to be married. You don't need no woman. You don't need no wife. This is a trick. Because if you find one, you're finding a good thing. And then when you find one, this is what the scripture says when you find this good thing. Because it's different than a man. Because a man, he got to worry about working, and he's got to worry about making sure that he has a foundation for his family. But once you get your family, because you have your foundation, now you can't just tell your wife all the time, I just got to work. No, you got more responsibilities now. Now you got a wife. Now you got to start thinking different. Now your vision got to be slightly a little bit different. Because now you got a family. Now you got a wife. You don't just got no house. You don't just got no garden. Now you have a relationship. And you got to think different. Man, tell a woman, I work. Ain't that enough? No, it ain't enough that you work. Because now you got a wife. And this is what the scriptures say. Once you have one, once you have a good thing. In the book of Genesis, the 2nd chapter. In the book of Genesis, the 2nd chapter, the 23rd verse. And Adam said, this is now bone of my bones, flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother, and shall cleave or join to his wife, and they shall be one flesh. In other words, a man got to learn how to be one with this wife, this good thing that he has taken on. He has built a foundation. And oftentimes men, they don't have no foundation. They get this while they trying to be a husband. And it's very difficult. It's very difficult to try to be both, because both take vision. So you got to establish things first. And once you have something established, then you can take on this wife, because now you can give her the attention that she needs. Now, you don't stop working. Your responsibility for the house don't cease. You don't start neglecting the garden. Now you got a helpmate. But with this helpmate, now your responsibilities increase. In other words, now she can help you with the garden. Now she can help you with the house. Now she can help you with those responsibilities. But now that those responsibilities decrease as a result of you having this helpmate, now you can spend more time and give her more attention. And why? Because now you done found your wife. And he that findeth a wife findeth a good thing and obtained favor of Yahweh. And who don't want Yahweh's favor? But now you can spend that extra time bonding, joining together, cleaving together with her. Because now you got time. Because she's helping you everywhere else. And this is how Yahweh said you must utilize that time. In the book of Deuteronomy, the 24th chapter. As I stated before, first you got to be a man. You got to become a man. Then you can become a husband. And the vision is slightly different. A man got to, he got to work, and he got to have a foundation, which is his house, which is his garden. He got to have something for his family. Now when you take on his wife, now you can start joining together, cleaving together. She shares some of those responsibilities so that you can do this in Deuteronomy, the 24th chapter. And watch what it says. The fifth verse. When a man has taken a new wife, he shall not go out to war, neither shall he be charged with any business, but he shall be free at home 1 year and shall cheer up his wife, which he has taken. You see what Yahweh would do for a man who has become a man and now, or established himself as a man, but now he's take on a new wife. And now he's a husband. And being a husband, the first thing Yahweh wanted you to concern yourself with is cheering her up. Well, how can you do that and you working all day? How can you do that and you ain't never home? How can you do that and you tired all the time? How can you do that when There's things more important than her. You can't. That's why in the beginning, you must be established. And you can't come up with a bunch of excuses why you can't cheer her up. Because she's your wife. You the one took her. And if Yahweh seemed fit, did not charge you with any business for a year, for 1 year, and said, don't even go out to war. Now, who don't want to fight for their nation? Now, who don't want to go out to war? Well, if you're a true man, you want to fight. If you're a true man, you want to go to war for your people and for your nation and for Yahweh. But Yahweh didn't want nothing to come in between a man and his wife. He's saying, bond with her, cleave together with her, and cheer her up. Because now your vision must change a little bit. Now you're a husband. And being a husband, this is what you got to do. Watch what it says in the book of Ecclesiastes. 9th chapter. We're talking about a man, a husband, and a father. But right now, we're on a husband. Because you've established yourself as a man. And many have not. And the sisters want to know, what's the problem? Well, you don't have no real man. Well, how can you tell? Well, he don't have no house. He living off you. He don't have no job. He living off you. He never established himself as a man. He can't feed you. You feeding him. Well, what kind of man is that? In the book of Ecclesiastes, the 9th chapter, watch what it says. Let's see if this makes sense to any woman out there. Let's see if it makes sense to even a husband. Ecclesiastes 9:9, it says, live joyfully with the wife whom you love all the days of the life of your vanity. In other words, you must love her because you married her. Who would marry someone they hate? Who would take on a wife that they hate? Live joyfully. And what do the word joyfully means? That means live a happy life with her. That means have fun with her. That means rejoice. Live joyfully with the wife whom you love all the days of the life of your vanity, which is your whole life, which he has given you under the sun. All the days of your vanity. In other words, if there's going to be any vanity involved in your life, let it be with your wife. Your vanity shouldn't be with your partners. Your vanity shouldn't be out there out running the street. Let your vanity be with your wife. Live joyfully with the wife whom you love all the days of the life of your vanity, which he has given you under the sun. All the days of your vanity, for that is your portion in this life, and in your labor, which you've taken under the sun. Man might say to another man, why are you going on all these vacations? Yeah, that's what I do with my wife. Because that's my vanity. That's the life. That's what we want to do, me and my wife. Man, I see you and your wife going down to the casino 2 or 3 times a week. Yeah, that's what me and my wife do. That's what we like to do. What's wrong with that? We ain't bothering nobody. That's me and my wife. Live joyfully with the wife whom you love all the days of your life, of your vanity. And who's doing that? All our people doing today with their wife is fussing, fighting, cheating, sneaking, and miserable, and misery. That's not the life that you're supposed to live with your wife. Where is the joy in that? Watch this. In the book of Proverbs, the 5th chapter. Man, husband, and father. Proverbs 5. Because once you become a man and you establish as a man, know you're gonna develop further than just a man. That's good that you're a man, because that's how you establish yourself as a man. But that's not where you're going to stay, because one day you're going to be a husband. And you'll be considering the fact that you're going to be a husband. But as a husband, you got to have vision. And a husband today, he's just thinking about ruling. Is that your vision, the rule? Your vision got to be better than just that. You want to rule, just get you a job at Burger King and get you some employees. Get you a business. But a real man, this is what he going to do. He's going to get him a wife, because he find it a good thing, and he want favor from Yahweh. And watch what it says in the book of Proverbs, the 5th chapter. And we're going to start reading at the 15th verse. Drink waters out of your own sister, running waters out of your own well. See, that's what a real man would do. Husband, no, he got to have water for his family. And the scriptures say, drink water out of your own sister, running waters out of your own well. Why would you go to another man's well and another man's sister? Come on, people. Get your own. You don't share your wife with nobody. You get your own. Watch what it says. And let your fountains be dispersed abroad, and rivers of waters in the streets. Let them be only your own, and not strangers with you. That's how you know it's talking about more than just water. More than just a well, more than just a fountain. Let them be only your own, and not strangers with you. Let your fountain be blessed. And here go this word again. And rejoice with the wife of your youth. I don't even read scriptures where it says, and fight with the wife of your youth, and argue with the wife of your youth, and vex the wife of your youth. No, you rejoice with your wife, man. Watch what it says. 19th verse. Let her be as the loving deer and pleasant robe. Let her breast satisfy you at all times. Why? Why do you let her breast be satisfied with you at all times? Because if it ain't hers, you're going to be looking at somebody's. Let it be hers. Watch what it says. And this is where we all need a lesson, a love. It says, and be ye ravished always with her love. Because a woman will try to love a man and he won't, he'll rebuke the love. No, you be ravished always with her love. And sisters, we know the difference between love and hate. So you can't trick us. We know the difference. But we got to do a way better job in being ravished with the love you do show us. And why will you, my son, my goodness, why will you, my son, be ravished with a strange woman and embrace the bosom of a stranger? Why would you do that? What'd she do for you? What'd she do with you? What'd she help you do? What storm did she go through with you? What bad times did she have to deal with you? Here it is, she ain't went through nothing. Help you build nothing. Help you get nothing, and then you're going to be ravished with her. But the one that done helped you build, the one that done went through misery with you, the one that was there through thick and thin, she gets nothing. But the one that ain't did jack, all she did is say shalom, and you was ravished. All she did was switch and twitched in front of you, and now you giving her the world. Why would you embrace the bosom of a stranger? She ain't did nothing. Did nothing. For the ways of man all before the eyes of Yahweh. And he ponder all his going. You don't think Yahweh looking at you, being a fool? Yeah, Yahweh looking at you. Look at this fool, man. Look at him. It's easy to trick him. Look at him. He's spending all his money on this little thing. And she ain't did nothing. And ain't about to do nothing. And ain't got nothing to do nothing. His own iniquities shall take the wicked himself, and he shall be held with the cords of his sins. He shall die without instruction, and in the greatness of his folly, he shall go astray. And this is what's happening today. Trick after trick, he's tricked. Man, husband, and father. A man got to work. A man got to establish something. A man got to build something. Like a house. Like a garden. He got to have something. And the love and the care and the skill that you put into it. Oh, now, man, you ready to be a husband. Now, you can take that long that you was doing long work or a long day. Now that you got you a helpmate, you can spend a little more time with her. To cleave unto her, to join unto her, to bond with her. Now y'all got time for each other because y'all helping one another. And the time that y'all spend with each other, brothers and sisters, listen to what I'm saying. The time that y'all spend with each other should not be in fighting, fussing, arguing, misery. It should be to rejoice, to live joyfully all the days of your vanity. Be ravished with her breasts at all times. Be ravished with her love. And understand and know who went through the pain and suffering with you. You don't think it's pain and suffering and having children? They did that for you, man. They carried that baby for you. Now, you're going to de-embrace them and embrace somebody that ain't carried nothing for you, ain't did nothing for you, ain't got nothing for you, ain't went through nothing. And you're going to live joyfully with her? What kind of madness is this? And what does she carry? Your sons and daughters. And let me tell my sisters, because once a man is a man, and then he become a husband, and he's a good husband, don't think that's his last stop and that's where he get off the bus. No, that bus continue on. Because now his vision will also change again. Because then he will become a father. And it's a little bit different. Becoming a father. In every stage, you got to have vision. The scripture says, it says, train up a child in the way that he should go. And when he is old, he shall not depart thereof. See, a man now, he got to start training. It ain't all about you no more, wife. You still part of the solution. You still got to be happy. We still gonna live joyfully with one another. All the days of our vanity, I'm still gonna be ravished with you and with your love. But understand now, we got children. And now, having children, there's some more additional work that we got to concern ourselves with. And watch what it says in the book of Deuteronomy, the 6th chapter. So you can understand, as a father, what you got to be about. And watch what it says. In the book of Deuteronomy, the 6th chapter, the 4th verse. My Yisrael, hear, O Yisrael. Yahweh, our Elohim, Yahweh is one. And you shall love Yahweh, your Elohim, with all your heart. And why? Because he's your father. And with all your soul. And why? Because he's your Elohim. And with all your might. Why? Because he's the creator. And watch what it says. And these words which I command you this day shall be in your heart. And you notice it didn't say, and you all, and you shall teach them diligently to your children.
Well, how you do that, Yahweh?
And shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. And if you got a man, a husband, that can't teach his own children, can't spend time with his own children, can't show them and train them in the way of Yahweh, I'm sorry to tell you, but this man, this husband, he done failed the last end. And little do people know, it's not how you start the race. It's how you finish the race. It's not the beginning. It's the end of a thing. And the end is when you start having children and you start training them, letting them know about the mistakes you made, so their life can be set forth right. And how do you teach them? Diligently to your children. And shall talk with them when you sit in your house, because that's what you're going to do. When you walk by the way, and you're going to do that. When you lie down and when you rise up. And you shall bind them for a sign upon your hand. And they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. And you shall write them upon the post of your house and on your gates. In other words, it's not just for you, but it's also for your children. See, you got to see it every day. You got to see the law. You got to see the instructions every day to keep them on your mind, to keep them on your heart, to keep them before your eyes. But so do your children. And whose responsibility is that? That's the father's responsibility. That's his responsibility. Watch what it says in the book of Ezekiel, the 18th chapter. I want you to see this. Man, husband, father. In the book of Ezekiel 18. The first verse, the word of Yahweh came unto me saying, what mean ye that you use this proverb concerning the land of Israel, saying, the fathers have eaten sour grapes, and the children's teeth are set on edge. In other words, what is this proverb? This proverb is the fact that the fathers ate sour grapes, the children's teeth got rotten. No, the children's teeth ain't going to got rotten because what the father done ate. That's what Yahweh is saying. Even though that's what the people say, the people will tell you because of the father did this, we died. No, you're not dying as a result of what your father did. Yahweh wants that straightened out real quick. As I live, says Yahweh. Yahweh, you shall not have occasion anymore to use this proverb in Israel. Behold, all souls are mine. As the soul of the father, so also the soul of the son is mine. The soul that sins, it shall die. And watch what Yahweh says. But if a man is just and does that which is lawful and right, and has not eaten upon the mountains, neither has lifted up his eyes to the idols of the house of Israel, neither has defiled his neighbor's wife, neither has come near to a mistress woman, and has not oppressed any, and has restored to the debtor his pledge, has spoiled none by violence, has given his bread to the hungry, has covered the naked with a garment. He has not given forth upon usury, neither has he taken any increase, that has withdrawn his hand from iniquity, has executed true judgment between man and man, has walked in my statute, kept my judgment, and dealt truly. He is just, he shall surely live, says Yahweh. And if he begets a son, that is a robber, because a good man, a righteous man, can get a son, and his son don't do nothing what his father told him. He could be a robber, a shedder of blood. And that does delight to any one of these things, does not any of those duties, but even has eaten upon the mountains, defiled his neighbor's wife, has oppressed the poor and needy, has spoiled by violence, has not restored the pledge, has lifted up his eyes to idols, has committed abomination, has given forth upon usury, has taken increase. Shall he then live? He shall not live. He has done all these abominations. He shall surely die. His blood shall be upon him. In other words, a father have a great responsibility in teaching and training his sons and daughters. But make no mistake about it. It's up to them to follow suit. They have a choice. Don't think just because the kids are bad, the parents are bad. No, the parents can be doing the best that they can. The father can be doing the best that he can. And the children still can turn out rotten. Don't blame the father. Don't blame the mother. And don't judge them because the children refuse to do what is right. But yet it's still his responsibility. And it's a great responsibility. And he can't leave them to their own devices. He has to train them. And a lot of men think it's the responsibility of the mother to do the training. No, it's not her responsibility. It's his responsibility. And she is the one who's supposed to help him. But it's the father's responsibility. Watch what Yahweh says. Book of Malachi. In the book of Malachi, the first chapter, the sixth verse, it says, a son honors his father. Why didn't it say a son honors his father and his mother? Because this is, Yahweh is trying to deliver us a message. And the message is Yahweh going right to the top of the pyramid. You at the top, brother, and it's your responsibility. And if you fulfill your responsibility like you're supposed to, then chances are a son honors his father and a servant his master. If then I am a father, where is my honor? Because if you want your son to honor you, shouldn't it make sense that you honor Yahweh? And if I am a master, where is my fear? Because any master should be feared. Today, we have no fear for our father or our mother, even though
That's the law.
Watch what it says in the book of Leviticus. In the book of Leviticus, the 19th chapter, starting at the very first verse, and Yahweh spoke to Moshe, saying, speak to all the congregation of the children of Israel, and say to them, you shall be holy, for I, Yahweh, your Elohim, am holy. You shall fear every man his mother and his father, and keep my Sabbaths. I am Yahweh, your Elohim. This is how a father, as well as a mother, supposed to be feared. And today we have no fear for our fathers. We have no fear for our mothers. And our fathers is looked down on by little children. This is how you know our community is in shambles, totally backwards. But the crooked things got to be made straight. At some point in time, even a father, even a husband, have to stand up and say, it's time for me to be a man. I got to be a man. And once he stand up to become a man, then he can say, well, if I can become a man, even though I'm a husband and a father, well, now let me become a husband and live joyfully with the wife of my youth. And if I can become a husband, even though I'm already a husband, just not acting like one, then I can become a father and begin to train and teach and raise and rear my children in the way they should go. And all that takes vision. The scriptures say, where there is no vision, the people perish. But happy is he that keeps the law. And if you learn how to keep the law gives you vision. The vision that we're telling you about today is about a man, a husband, and a father. And this vision takes great responsibility. And there are three different things all together. And you can fulfill all three. You must fulfill all three. And you can't fall short of any of them. Because these are the things that Yahweh himself require of us. This is what and how we are to live our life. What else is more important than these things? Here it is. You got the vision of a man, of a husband, and a father. Three distinct different things. The vision of a woman, a wife, and a mother. Three more distinct different things. That's six things together you have to concern yourself with. And then there's only one other thing that will make you complete. Because if you can get those six things correct, well, there's only one last thing. And that's the vision of a nation, of a people, of a holy people. And let me just show you that vision that Yahweh required of a nation. In the book of Deuteronomy, the 10th chapter. Your man now. Your husband. Your father. You're a woman, a wife, and a mother. But now, you must become a nation. And this is what Yahweh requires of you to become that nation. Deuteronomy 10. The 12th verse. And now Yisrael. You notice he said, and now Yisrael, a people, a nation. What does Yahweh, your Elohim, require of you? But to fear Yahweh, your Elohim, one, to walk in all his ways, two, to love him, three, and to serve Yahweh your Elohim with all your heart and with all your soul, four and five. To keep the commandments of Yahweh, six, and his statutes, seven, which I command you this day for your good. And when it say for your good, it's talking about for you to be complete, for you to be whole. And we must learn to become complete, whole, and one with our Maker. Man, husband, and father. We can do it. Yahweh want us to do it. He desire us to do it. It would only be a remnant. And this is how the remnant will look. So until tomorrow, Yahweh love you, and so do I. Shalom.
We gon' march to the city of God. Waters came right to your knee. Before you further Joe Goins, waters came to your loins. A thousand measures and the last, a river you could not pass. Everything to touch the waters was healed. Plenty of your fists left to swim. There was meat from the trees, nourished the bodies from leaves. The vision I seen was more than a dream. Waters flow on thoughts of sanctuary. My heart had joy and merit. I'm renovating my soul.